Okay, let's gather in. Thinking about what you're singing there? I think sometimes, I know I do, I sing words in songs and I don't even realize what I'm singing. And sometimes God is faithful to allow me to experience it the next week. But let's think about what we're singing this morning. These songs that we're singing this morning, we're singing with Steve at the nursing home this afternoon. And so that we decided to sing the same songs for you guys is what we're going to sing there. So you're actually our practice audience this morning. So I don't think Soretta's mic is on, Derek.
God is so good. God is so good.
Now perfect, Father, even though we don't understand. So many times we don't understand, and yet we acknowledge that your ways are good and your ways are perfect, and we trust you. We give you our lives. Again today, I pray that you would meet with us. In Jesus' name I pray.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall and hills and mountains call. God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Could we within the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the
up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on a ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There is thunder in his footsteps and a lightning in his fists. Our God is an awesome God. The Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very soon, so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
When the sky was starless in the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom.
mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Applause was for Ali and Christy finally getting here.
Oh.
Sorry, Ali.
We'll give you a pass. We know you're gone on a big trip.
I'm actually surprised to see you here, but thanks for coming. think of that last two lines that we just sang again there. You know, sometimes through the trials of life, we feel like we're all alone. Nobody else has ever went through this, or nobody else has ever had to go through what I'm going through. And we feel all alone. But how many times have we been praying and in that time with God, and we're just sitting there, and it's just as this says, we feel like no one else has ever known this. Like nobody else knows this joy of what I'm experiencing in this life in Christ. And we also feel like we're all alone in that. And we need to remember when we feel all alone in those trials too, that there's the best place to be is all alone in our place with God.
Your God to thee. Kids, all the kids in age and heart and mind, whatever, welcome to come over here. Yes. Anyone else? No? Okay, this morning I want to ask you a couple of questions, and I'm going to need your help, okay? So first of all, I'm going to ask, how old are you right now, really quick? How old are you?
7, 5, 8, 6, 7, 6, 9, 8.
Ooh, I love it. He's 8. Are you 8? How old are you?
3.
Ah, yes. Is he 3? Nice. Good job. Okay, so I have a couple of questions for you. So you're very young, right? So you are what we call children, right? Okay, so I have a couple of questions. First question is, can you drive a car? Why not? Anybody, why not?
I'll go full speed.
Yeah, good. He go full speed. I like that. Anyone, why not? Why can you drive a car? Okay, they cannot drive a car. How about, can you buy a house? Why not?
Because I'm too young.
She's too young to buy a house. Anyone else?
You don't have too much money?
Yes, they don't have a lot of money. Okay, let me ask another question. Can you... Okay, an easier one. Can you cook?
Yes.
Bowl of cereal?
No. eggs.
He can cook eggs. You're doing great, parents. You're doing great. All right. What else?
Ramen noodles.
Ooh.
Quesadillas.
That's good. Let's not hit the mic, okay? Because he can break it.
Eggs.
Yes. Okay. Well, that was better. That's an easier one. But how about making something very complicated? I didn't ask you. Sorry, I forgot, Dominic.
I can make toasties.
Ha ha! Love it. That's awesome. Okay. So, it seems to me there are a couple things that you can do. You know, like cooking or make a quesadilla, right? But there are the things that you cannot do because you're still young, right? Now, I want to tell you something, though. Okay? Hey, listen to me. Pay attention to this. I want to tell you something. There is one thing that it does not matter your age. Can you guess what that is? You can be a very young kid. You can be an adult. You can be very old. It doesn't matter how tall you are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, the color of your hair, even your accent. You can talk to an accent like me, right? You know what it is? I tell you this. You kids can have a relationship with Jesus. And who is Jesus? He is God. He himself is God. He is the Son of God. Say that again.
It's God.
He is God. Can you imagine? He is so powerful. He created everything. And he wants to have a relationship with you two. I know sometimes when we come over here, you hear the old people talking. And sometimes you don't understand what they are saying and whatever. You know, I sometimes don't understand what I'm saying either. But in the Bible, it says that we all can have a relationship with him. Do you remember when Jesus was giving a talk and then some kids were trying to get close to him? Remember what the disciples did? What did they say?
Go away.
Go away. They say, stop, don't bother Jesus. And what did Jesus say?
Let them
come to me. Right? You know what? Because Jesus loves the kids. And in the Bible, it says this. Check this out. Let me see if I can find it. Where is it? I lost it. Oh, no, I lost the verse that I wanted to share. I believe it's in Matthew, yes. Okay, it's the one that says that heaven, I remember in Spanish. Christy, la parte que dice que el reino de los cielos es de los niños. How does that go? To these. So the kingdom of heaven belongs to these. Is that, sorry. I forgot. Anyways, so it says that the kingdom of heaven belongs to the kids. Matthew 19, thank you. Let's go read it. Matthew 19:14, you said? Thank you. Okay, let me just go find it. Matthew 9. You said 19. There are 16 chapters.
19:14.
Oh, I'm in Mark. Sorry. I'm on fire today. You can tell, huh? I'm thinking about my trip. So it says 19 what, sorry? 14. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Okay, God, Jesus, he is the king of this kingdom. And he's inviting the kids to have a relationship with him. Now, I know, how many of you can read? You can read. You can read. Good job. You too. Good job. Okay. Even though if you don't know how to read, it doesn't matter. Jesus still wants to have a relationship with you. I just want you to be aware of this, okay? Because I don't want you to think like, okay, once I'm old, then I'll get to know Jesus. We can get to know the Lord no matter our age. Hey, and this is very important. Check this out. Listen to this. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you have made. Jesus wants to forgive you. You just need to go ask for his forgiveness, and he will give it to you. How about that? That's special. Yes?
I pray to God every day.
Amen. That's a great example. We all need to pray to God every single day. Right? Because that's how you build a relationship. Right? So parents, I have a challenge for you and everybody. We need to teach our kids. Right? Because sometimes even ourselves have a hard time understanding. So we do need to invest. You know what? They're going to be doing what we're doing right now in a few years. They're the ones that are going to bring the gospel to other people. And we bless the Lord for that. Yes.
I have my own Bible.
I love it. Your own Bible. Okay. Shall we pray for the kids? What do you say? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for each one of these kids. Oh, thank you for the blessing. Thank you for the blessing, God. We just pray that you protect them. We pray that your spirit is with them. That you lead them every single day of their lives. Protect them from the enemy and from this world. Teach them how to walk and how to live godly lives. Set apart for you, Lord. Thank you for these beautiful souls that you have trusted in our hands. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may go back. Okay. So, story about a snake, but I don't have a story about a snake. So I told him next time I'll share about a snake. Okay? Yes?
Good morning to everyone. I want to give a hearty welcome to each of the visitors that are here. Glad to have you here with us. Thank you, Hershey family, for sharing with us in the praise time, and Ali sharing with the children there. Not too many announcements here, but the beans we have fifth Sunday, we do not have a fellowship meal here today. So feel free to, I guess, have some time with family or friends or whatever. So, your day off. Awesome. Looks like the ladies have a Bible study kicking off here this Wednesday at 6:30 at church here. And to contact Jenny if you have any, I guess, any questions, you ladies. July the 10th, we have the Fisher Family Singers with the Gospel Express Ministries. Yes, feel free to, just feel free, please do invite friends, family, neighbors, whatever. It'll be a blessed and encouraging time. Also, again, it's not too far away. We got our youth retreat coming up August 7th to 11th. And so, yes, continue to share the word with that. If you have any youth or anybody that might be interested in that, please do so. This time I think that's all I got. I guess we'll turn the time over to Brother Phil here.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Lee, for sharing that. It's one of those things that is very precious to the heart of Jesus. You can see that when he was in the midst of this huge multitude teaching them, and right there is where Jesus said, stop everything. The children are an important part of my teaching you. And that's one of the reasons that the Lord has given me this strong conviction, and it's precious to me. And the older I get, the more precious it becomes, is that our children are a part of our worship, teaching, praise time experience. We don't send them off to another little room to learn about God. We don't send them off to a nursery to play while we worship. They are a part of the kingdom of Christ. Personally, I think that makes the heart of Jesus sad. Don't tell the children to leave. Keep them right here. I want to talk to them. A brother who was now in his 80s was my spiritual mentor for years. Often told me as I grew in the ministry, he said, teach the word of God as if you're teaching a seven-year-old. And if the seven-year-old gets it, then you know the rest are probably getting it as well. Because unless you become as a little child, you cannot even enter the kingdom of heaven. We can go to church. There's a big difference between going to church and meeting Jesus and receiving his words of eternal life into your heart that day and engaging with him. So that's one of the things that to me is so precious, and it grieves my heart that in the broad Christianity, it's a rarity. It seems like adults don't want to be disturbed by the kids. And so they send them off to other people who will teach them, and I just think it's so sad. Because I think Jesus would say, don't do that. Children, be right here. And I just want to encourage you who have little children, don't ever feel like your child is a distraction to me when I'm teaching the Word of God or to any one of us others. This is God's living room. That's how the Lord tells me often. Welcome to my living room. You're all my children sitting at my feet. And when Jesus was here, that's how he wanted it. He wanted the atmosphere of the children right there in the middle of everyone else. And I want you to picture this, because sometimes we get too rigid in a building. Jesus did teach in the synagogues, but much of his teaching was done out in the open fields. Now I want you to picture the atmosphere there. Do you think all the children were quiet and sitting there? Don't move. I don't think so. And I think Jesus loved every minute of it. And I think we should too, as his people, because I think he still is wanting to set the atmosphere as we learn from him and listen to him and worship him today yet. Well, today is the Sunday that we as a ministry team will be sitting here and kind of sharing a bit with you and also hearing your questions. We do this 4 times a year, every time there's a 5th Sunday of the month, to give you an opportunity to engage with us as a ministry team, to ask questions, and also to share a bit with you what the Lord is doing in our lives, and just to have that free flowing of fellowship and understanding together as a church body. I wanted to read a word the Lord gave me in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. That's where it is. And when Jesus said, and when the Bible says it's at hand, it means it's like right here. It's right here. It's in your hand. The end of all things is right here, dear family. It's not way out there in the distance. You're living right there in it. Because of this, therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer, to be connected with what's going on in the heavenlies. For that purpose, above all, first of all, above everything else in your life. Now, when God says above everything else in your life, he actually means it. This is like the most important thing in your life. Are you getting it? Above everything, keep fervent in your love for one another. Many Christians and many churches believe their unity is in doctrine. Their unity is in what they believe on the details of practice and their theology and all of those things. And churches split and divide all over the world over those things. Somehow I think we're missing the heart of Jesus in all of that. He's saying, the most important thing to me, children, my brothers and sisters, Jesus standing in our midst is saying, love one another. That's the most important thing in your life. And as I grow in my Christian life, the Lord presses that into my heart. Phil, the most important thing is that you love me and you love my people. That's the most important thing in your life. Learn to love one another. And so I'm a firm believer. The church is not built on doctrine. A church locally and in the world is built on this one identity. By this shall all men know that you are a Christian. By how you believe? Is that what Jesus said? The last night he spent with his disciples in his earthly body like that. No, it's not what he said. John 14, he said, if you love one another. Because love, you'll notice, does something to all of our relationships that is most needful. Love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Or the other word is faults. How many of you have no faults? Anyone? The older I get and the more I grow closer to the Lord in my journey with him, the more faults I see in my life. I mean, I was sitting here singing that song, The Love of God. And I said to my heart, why are you even here? What have you done to be able to sing that song? Do you deserve it? Anything. I haven't done a thing that qualifies me except to believe in Jesus Christ and his great salvation and his great love that he has loved me with, and he continues to love for me. And I get to share that, to live in it, and to share it with you, with the world, my little world that I live in. Love covers a multitude of faults. And that's why it's the most above all ingredient in our homes and in our churches, in our community. Because if you don't, if your love does not cover your spouse's faults, if your love does not cover your children's faults, if your love does not cover your brothers and sisters' faults, then you will be the one that will expose them. Your language will continually just rip off. It's literally like this. I'm going to give you a radical scenario. It's literally like you rip off Ron's shirt. You just expose him with your words. You rip him off their clothes. Instead of covering their nakedness, you expose it to your friends, to your community. Does your love cover or expose your spouse's weaknesses, your children's weaknesses? Above all, that's what we all need. Above all, be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies. It takes the same grace to cook these meals in the kitchen and to serve him as it does to speak the word of God. It's in the same verse. Don't discount the little things that Jesus elevates in your life. have the same appreciation for them, because that will make God's grace not single, manifold. You know what a manifold does? You mechanics, you engine guys. What does a manifold do? I'm not an engine guy. Someone tell me. Ron, you know engines?
Yeah, a little bit.
What does a manifold do?
Gets rid of all your gases.
Gets rid of your gases. I didn't know that.
Combines all the gas from each cylinder. So you might have multiple cylinders, four cylinders, six cylinders. It brings it all into one point to exit. Huh.
So it merges it. Okay, and that's how it gets rid of it. The intake. Okay. I think of this word manifold as it's, and some translations use it as the varied grace of God. Has many variations. As many variations as there are people in this room. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with God's grace when His people get together. Yes, there are some who have gifted to bring forth God's utterance. Some are gifted to serve in the kitchen. Some are gifted in many other ways. But don't discount God's grace in your life today. He wants it manifold. Isn't that wonderful? That's what the body of Christ is to display to the world and to exercise with each other. Let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the church said,
Amen.
That's why we have also in the church here a ministry team of six or seven of us. It ebbs and flows as the Lord calls us to different things, each one of us exercising those gifts to edify the body. And it's not a one-man show or a two-man show or a three-man show. It's the body of Christ. It's His body. I'm not the head. Though I exercise that gift in pastoring, mostly focusing on the teaching of the word and in prayer and shepherding, doesn't make me the head of the body. Who's the head?
Jesus.
Jesus is. And I'm not the neck either. I'm just one who brings forth the utterances of God. But the one serving in the kitchen, I tell you, Faith and some of you other sisters who get up every Sunday and you go out and sometimes you miss parts of the sermon and you have this food ready when the church is dismissed and you open the door and everybody is hungry and I see all the children quickly going for the food and I think, Lord, they play just as important role, maybe even more important to the children than I did, because the food and the fellowship somehow just go together. I mean, have you ever tried to fellowship without food? Somehow, even when we go to each other's houses, can I get you a cup of water at least? Somehow it makes fellowship flow, doesn't it? Maybe a cookie, Kent? Mexican dinner? By the way, it was Kent's birthday. Happy birthday to Kent. He's old now, officially 70. Okay, not quite. I was pushing it, wasn't I? Anyway, I wanted to just share that with you to encourage you again as we exercise our gifts in the body of Christ, that you also, each one of us, has a special gift given to us by Jesus to use in the service of the body. Don't let the devil discount your gift. And as we do so, don't let him paralyze you by elevating others' gifts, though they're more visible perhaps. Oftentimes, that's how Christians get paralyzed spiritually. They compare themselves among themselves, and the devil says, see, who are you? At this time, let's just pray together, and then we're going to have the ministry team come forward. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I want to thank you again for your body and your work that you're doing on the earth in each of your children's lives. It's special. And the little children, it's so special that you prayed for them. Right in the midst of your children's, of your church service, you brought the children in and you prayed over them and blessed them. Oh Lord, I thank you. You still do it. You're the same Jesus who now dwells in our hearts and in the midst of your church. And I pray you would continue to put that value in our hearts that you have in your heart. In Jesus Christ's name. Anoint us with your grace as we fellowship together, we pray. Amen. Maybe we can each grab a chair, ministry team, as you come up. We're going to start with Eli and Christy are going to Norway for a month. The church over there, many of you will get to meet two of the elders, Tormod and Conrad, are bringing some of their young people over here for our youth retreat in August. So you'll get to meet these brothers and sisters that we've gotten to know so well over the last, since 2010, I think was the first time Katie and I went there. And I'm really looking forward to you guys finally getting to meet some of them. But Eli and Christy are going over there for a month. They asked him to share at the conference, the summer conference that they're having, and to be one of the speakers there and to fellowship together with him. I'll let him share with you, and then we'll also have time to pray over Eli and Christy and the kids as they go.
Thank you. Before I share a little bit about it, I would like to ask you to join me in prayer for Conrad. Yes. He's been sick. I think one of his nerves in the back or in the leg, something went off. I don't think he can move, actually. I think he's in bed. It sounds bad. Yeah. So maybe we can all pray for him. Shall we pray? Father, we come together in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we just want to pray for our brother Conrad. First of all, bring peace to his heart and his mind, that he knows that you have everything under control, there is nothing that goes out of your hands. Father, and we pray for healing for his back, his leg, whatever nerve got out of place. Bring it back. Bring it back to normal. Take the pain away. Help him, Jesus, just to continue moving around and that he can fulfill his tasks.
Amen, Lord.
As a dad, first of all, and husband, first of all, and as a pastor, and also brother over there in Norway. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
They invited us over. I don't even know why. No, it's been such a blessing. You know, 2 years ago we went to the camp in Norway, and amazing people, beautiful. And by that I just mean that they follow in the Lord, and you know they want Jesus to transform their hearts, their minds, and that is just beautiful. I mean, it doesn't mean that they don't make mistakes, right? I mean, they're humans like we are, and we just so thankful, you know, for the opportunity of going over there, spending some time with them. So the camp is going to be 1 week, but we're going for 1 month, right? I mean, I think you know us already very well. We kind of like that concept. Just, you know, having fellowship with them, just spending time with all of them over there, it's just such a blessing, and we're so thankful. And please do pray for us. I'm going to be sharing a couple times. That's always a challenge.
A couple is five.
I mean, five times with translation. So the tricky part about that is that, so you say something and then you have to wait until the translator translates it. And then you are in Mexico. Back in Mexico thinking about, when did I eat these tacos? I forgot. I mean, you know, your mind goes off really quick. So I'm trying to be aware of that. So please do pray for us whenever you think of us. And we'll miss you all. We'll come back. Don't worry. We're not leaving for forever, like some people like to do. But did I say that? Oh, I think I let the thought come out of my heart. No. It's all good. We're thankful. We're happy. We'll miss you all.
Amen. Christy, would you come up now? Is that okay? And maybe we'll just have you kneel down here, and the rest of us as a ministry team will gather around you, and we'll commit you to the Lord. Because they're leaving today. What time?
4
Tonight? 4 p.m.?
Yeah, after this, we leave.
You go to the airport?
Yeah.
And what layovers do you have?
Going to Munich.
Munich, okay.
And then 2-hour layover, and then
and then on up to Norway.
So, I was telling Christy, I think this is going to be like a... I was just telling her, okay, we left home around 10. We were late, sorry about that. It's going to be like a 28-hour trip. And she's like, don't think about that right now. Let's just go for it. Like, okay.
Amen. As you tell Katie, don't overthink it. Just do it. That's the way we work. Let's pray together. Would you start tomorrow?
Heavenly Father, we just pray for this brother and sister as they make a long trip with their little children. Just pray for their safety. Pray for Ali to be a blessing on the people there. Just pray that you would be with him as he shares those times with them, and pray that he keeps his thoughts clear and works with the translator as well, so his message and his heart and your word can flow through him to them, Lord. And just pray for them and their safety.
Anyone else?
Lord, I thank you for Ali and Christy and the family, Lord, and their willingness to go there, Lord. And I remember when we went over there, Lord, 4 or 5 years ago, what a blessing it was to go across the oceans, Lord, and meet people there that love you, and Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Your spirit is out upon the world, Lord, and Lord, willing to save souls, Lord, wherever they're willing and open to you, Lord, and we just thank you for that, Lord, and may this experience, Lord, bless them also, Lord, as they go, make friends there, Lord, and the preaching that you would bless him with strong preaching, Lord, and that the church would be encouraged, Lord, to go on. Pray in Jesus' name.
Father, I just pray for these precious people, Lord, to us and all that you have made them and all that you have given them and all that you have anointed them with. And I just pray, Lord, that they would just be a blessing as they go and that Ali would just be able to expound upon your word with authority, with conciseness, Lord, and that it would just be spirit-filled, not of his own intelligence or sharp wit, but, Lord, just that it would be Jesus Christ speaking through him and the Holy Spirit within him. And, Lord, that others would be encouraged and built up in their faith, or that they would even, if they have never heard the gospel, that they are hearing it for the first time, Lord, that they would be smitten in their spirit, Lord, to turn their lives to you. Lord, I just pray that you would do this work in his heart and in his life, especially as he speaks, Lord, and that he would just be turned over to you and given over to you in all things. And for Christy and the children, Lord, I just pray that you would help the children to travel well and be well behaved and sleep when they need to sleep and a lot of it. And I just pray that they would be able to handle them in every way and give them patience, Lord. I'm sure it's hard, Lord, and I just pray that you would just give them much grace and patience as they go. And I just pray that the flights would go well and no delays and that things would just go well with their trip, Lord. And I just pray that they would be blessed and encouraged as they meet the family of God and get to participate in all that you have for them. And we just ask this in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, I thank you so much that Ellie and Christy and their family have this opportunity, Lord, to go. And I just pray that you would encourage their hearts as well. Lord, I know that they are going and will be blessed and will also, Lord, be faithful in giving a blessing and sharing. And Father, I thank you for your body all over the world, but especially for this specific body, Lord. We love them and we thank you for the gift that they all have been to us over the past years and the fellowship and the encouragement. And Lord, it's just such a joy to be able to have friends in other countries. And Father, I just pray that you would just prepare the way for Lee and Christy and bring them home safely in Jesus' name.
Yes, Yes, Lord, we just commit them to you, to your loving care. Please watch over them, shepherd their souls. Make them a blessing. Let rivers of living water flow from their innermost being, Lord. Yes. As they fellowship, as they do activities together with the people and live together in their homes with them and get to know them better, and as they share your word, that you in all things would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, for me to share this morning, you know, Sunday mornings is special, especially the first day of the week. And we gather together with the body, the church of the living God. But to do that, you know, it's been 6 months since my wife passed, and it's not the same. But this morning there was a song, He Raises Me Up. And I was so blessed. It seems like, you know, the further you go down, Ron, the further God is able to pick us up. He'll pick us up. I know Ron is going through things with his wife, but he picks us up. And I trust that this song that I asked Derek, if he could play this song, that we could all hear it, he'll raise us up. Why don't we all stand and watch TV?
When I am down,
Blessing to have young people like that being willing to sing for Jesus. And it really blessed me this morning. It just definitely raised me up, and I want to stand on the shoulders of Jesus. And that's where there is life there. He gives us strength. But just for me as a deacon here, I'm so thankful that I could serve God in this way, the community. And thank you so much, community, for getting together. This book study has been such a blessing to me. And trust it's been a blessing to you to come together in a way like that through the week, in the middle of the week, and share what God's doing in our life. Sometimes, it happened a few times, we didn't get through the whole chapter. As we start sharing and about other things, and that's such a blessing. Thank you so much. But that, I feel that's my calling here, is to use my house for His glory in any way I can and serve the body of Christ here. So, have any questions?
I don't know that I have a whole lot to share personally, but I guess one thing that's kind of been on my mind here recently is I guess something kind of a little bit in relation to my business and all, but I had to kind of think it in the church perspective as well, and that is, well, I guess in business you have what you call like a management role, but then there's also another whole level of leadership, and that's been kind of running through my head, is what is true leadership? How does leadership look? I just sitting back there, I just pulled it up on the phone really quick, where a management means directing and controlling a group of people or an organization to reach a goal. When leadership is helping others reach their potential while ensuring the team achieves its goals, a true leader connects with and inspires and unites people, leading them down the right path while focusing on doing the right thing for the right reasons. I think that's our desire here is, it's not management. It is to be able to set a tone to help one another to reach our goals spiritually, whatever it is, and to be able to connect, to inspire, and bring us all unitedly together in spirit and in truth. So that's just something that's been on my mind. I know my DNA is not born with a leadership personality, so that's probably a little bit of a weakness for my personality, but I do love to serve. I with work wise and all, it's nothing more that brings a satisfactory feeling is to help people, to serve, and to see people to grow. So that's my desire, and it's an honor and a privilege to be part of this team, and in a humbling experience at the same time, and to be part of this fellowship.
Carrie's going to share about what the Lord is doing in their life and leading them to Thailand as well. But before we go there, does anyone have any questions? If you have any financial questions, Jemiah would be glad to answer that for you as a secretary. Or just questions in general or observations. This is a good interaction time, so feel free to share, you guys, with us. We're here to hear just as well as sharing. Or even suggestions these times. I know as a church we're kind of growing in this exercise. So as you know that the next quarter is coming, if through the next quarter you begin to have some questions or you like to have a discussion about something or suggestion into something, this is a good platform, good time to do it as the body of Christ. We're here to grow together. I'll give you some time to think about it, and then if you do, feel free to, share a little later on. I'll give the mic to Carrie, and Carrie can share.
Sorry, I had to go out because Papa got a chorus play a song that makes me cry, and then my nose runs. I felt like that song kind of goes very much so with where we're at right now as a family, and I don't know if I've ever realized how insufficient I am, I guess I could say, as a person, as a dad, as a husband, is what I'm starting to understand I am. So I don't know how many, it's been, 6 years, I think, that I've more or less took it on the youth and been a youth pastor here with the youth and in those responsibilities. And they've been a sweet time for us as a family. We love it. My boys have kind of grown into more youth age now. But they've kind of been youth since they were 10 or something, I think. They don't even know what it's like not to be a part of the youth group, but I always just loved being with youth. I always loved being with young men and girls too, but especially young men. I think part of it was, as growing up, I always felt like I was so alone in some things, and so alone maybe through the battles and the trials of life. And my desire was to always be there for young boys, especially to be at least a listening ear, even if I didn't have much wisdom to give them, but to at least be a listening ear for them. And that's always been on my desire. And I think God had laid that very specifically on my wife's and my heart to work with youth. It was definitely something we felt God had called us to and had blessed us with. And we built our house and with the idea of having large groups of people over and having youth and just making it a blessing. And I still remember, Dave, I still laugh, because when Faith came over the first time with her boys, do you remember this, Faith? I tell this story all the time because I think it's the greatest, compliment. But you guys came over with your boys. Your boys walked right in the house without knocking. They went right into the pantry. They went into the fridge. They grabbed whatever they wanted, and they lived life like they do on youth nights. And Faith, I remember looking at her, looking at Saretta going, I apologize. I raised them better than this. And to us, that's normal. That's the way we wanted it. Like, we love it that they call it home and they consider it home. They don't knock. They just walk in and it's home. And that's always been our desire for, and it's been a blessing for us. I think we have gotten, I know we've been blessed as a family greatly from the youth coming over and the relationships that we've had with them and they've built with us, and we've been so blessed with that. And it's been hard to think of what God is calling us to. I mean, we've had almost a year and a half now to be thinking about some of this, and a good year that we are planning this now, and I don't think it's gotten any easier to think of leaving the youth or to those relationships. But at the same time, I hope that it is an encouragement to them to branch out in their own lives. The body of Christ is not is not in one place only. It is not in one circle. And I think it's scary if that's how we want to live life, where we don't branch out, we don't look outward, but we're focused on inward. And I think that is a scary place to be. Not saying that that's what our youth group is doing, but I think looking outward would be a good thing for them too. I think it's a good step forward to see beyond our own little circle. Going into what God is calling us to with going to Thailand. Years ago, for those of you that do not know, years ago I lived in Thailand when I was 18, 19, and we were smuggling Bibles into China and Vietnam at that time, and I was based in Thailand, and I fell in love with the country way back then. I just loved it there, and I loved the people, I loved the culture, I loved the food. And the funny thing is when I went to Asia for the first time, I hated rice. I just did not like rice. Yeah. Now, I did not know that the way my mom's mush, whatever she called rice, was not what was really rice. But as soon as I experienced real rice, no offense to my mom if she hears this, but that goop that we called rice as kids was not what rice was. And I actually learned I loved real rice. But yeah, I really fell in love with that place over there. And I think it was also where God broke apart the boxes that I had built of an idea of what Christianity, church, a relationship with God looked like, what people had to look like if they were a Christian, what a church had to look like, maybe just people in general. I was shocked when I discovered that there was people over there that did not look anything like what I thought they should look like to be a Christian, and yet they were more passionate about God than I was. And it really broke my box apart at 18 years old. And it was the first place where God started to get a hold of my life. And I always wanted to go back. When I came back at 19 years old, I always thought, well, I'll go back soon. And everything in life just seemed to go against that. Saretta and I thought maybe we'd possibly live there within 2 years of getting married. It took us 16 years to get there, I think. But God allowed us to finally go and visit. And what was so amazing about that was that God had that passion for Thailand had never left me. I discovered that it was 100% still alive in my heart as I went back over there, and the people, and I don't know, it was amazing. I mean, there were still people there that I knew. May, as many of you have heard of May, as I've talked of her, that she was still there. She's married, she has 4 children of her own, and this is a girl that we were both, you know, single back then, young, and what God has done in our lives over 16, 17 years or 18 years of not seeing each other. And so it's just amazing what God is doing and what he continues to do. Where my heart has gone in some of this, as I've looked at what God has called us to, I'm going to read some scriptures. John chapter 13, verse 34 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Moving to chapter 15, verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." What is the real reason we're going? Is it because we love Thailand, the country, the culture, the food? No, that's not my reason. I could live there without that. I mean, I could live there just for that. That would be easy enough. But it is the love that we have for the people there as we've gotten to know them, as we've seen. There's only a 1% population of Thailand that is Christian. That's 99% of the people that you're going to meet there do not know Christ, have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was interesting to me is how God has brought, I'm paralleling the two ministries that God has called us to, because I think they go together. And if I can maybe help you see this. The ministry with the youth was opening up our home to be there for people to talk to be there with them, and to show God's love, to teach, to minister to them from our own home in so many ways. As we have gotten to know the culture in Thailand more and more, and talking, speaking to other missionaries there, it is really hard in the Buddhist culture, in the Thai culture, to break into that with the gospel. Just standing on a street corner preaching, they just walk by. They're not worried about you one bit. But to open up your home, to love them, to take an interest in them, to show that kind of love is what breaks down their barriers. And that's what opens it up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you talk to other missionaries there, that is the greatest way that they've had inroads into the Thai people is through just literally living that kind of life. Well, that's what God has been preparing us, we see, as for the last years of our life with youth and this ministry that God has had us on here, is doing the same thing. Maybe it won't be necessarily all with youth anymore, but with Thai families and Thai people, whatever it may be. But we're going to continue to do the same work. We're going to continue to open our home as we are studying the language and living there. We just want to be a testimony for Jesus Christ through our home, through our family, through our lives there in that. I also want to be very clear. We are not something better than everybody else because we're going. In fact, I think it's a greater responsibility on us because we do, or we are going, than what it would be if we would just stay here. Romans chapter 10. This is another passage of scripture that I feel like God has given to me as we are prayerfully going through this season. For the scripture says, verse 11, Romans chapter 10, verse 11, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, American and Thai. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. I want to give them the opportunity to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, that they would hear the message of the gospel. And yes, God is calling us. God is sending us. What it will all look like, we don't know. Our visas are a tricky thing. We could be back in 3 months with our tails between our legs, per se. Going, that was fun. But I believe God will work those things out. And on a very general part of this, as far as like what is our plans, what is our initial plans going over there, we feel talking with others, talking with other missionaries and people that have been involved with missions, one of the greatest things that they see as a failing, if you will, or as a, I don't want to call it a failing, as a shortcoming, I guess, in mission work, is that so many people are sent, when they're sent by a church, they have programs, they have things they have to accomplish immediately. And so their airplane lands in whatever country that God has called them to, and their feet are turning immediately. They are going 100 miles an hour to accomplish these goals and to accomplish what God has called them to in that. And one of the failings is that they never learn the language. They don't. There's people over in Thailand that have been there for over 10 years that barely know the language. They can maybe get around a little bit, but they don't actually cannot converse in Thai or speak the language fluently. So as we were looking at that and we started praying about this, one of the things we feel like God led us to was to go there very openly for 2 years and to just study the language very thoroughly. So for the first 2 years, that is our plan, is to go there and to study Thai, to immerse ourselves there into the culture, into the Thai language school, and to learn it as best we can. I've never wanted the gift of tongues more in my life. So it's going to be interesting to watch a 40-year-old guy that got through 7 grades of education, or didn't even get through 7 grades of education, go back to school. I haven't been in school since I was 13 years old, so this is going to be a interesting challenge for me. The good news is there is no pronunciations or there's no I don't even know the English language. Yeah, there's not like grammar. If you know a word in Thai, you just string it together. There's no commas, periods, or apostrophes or dashes or things like that. They don't exist, thankfully, in Thailand. And that's something I struggle with anyway. I can string words together usually if I know them. So this should work out well with me on that. The Thai language is it's got 5 tones. So you can very easily tell someone they are beautiful, and also if you end the tone wrong, tell them that they are cursed by the gods. So there's not much danger there in saying things wrong. It's going to be very interesting, I guess, in that. We're excited. The language school that we're planning to go to there is Christian, and the gentleman that runs it there, I'm very excited about the way that they're teaching the language. They're teaching through just like a baby would learn a language, which I'm a baby in language anyway. So they teach it just the same way, through pictures and words. You're not learning phonetics. So a lot of languages, people go and they learn phonetics, so they actually end up learning basically 2 languages because they're learning to read it in English phonetics so that they can actually learn it in that language. So this eliminates that. So it's going to be a little bit, I think I'll learn better that way. I don't know if my boys and my wife are going to do better with that, but this is all about me. So this is the language school we're going to. I think we'll learn better in this, and people that we've talked to there that have gone through this school highly recommend it for the way that they teach. So that's what we're going to be immersing ourselves into for the first couple years. And then very loosely, we have plans for starting a business, working with the people there in something. I would like to work with something where I could work with youth, work with men, teach them a trade, but at the same time do discipleship through that is what I would really like to do. What that exactly will all involve, I think, could be very fluid over the next 2 years. I hate to say this is what we're going to do, because I think God could change it so radically in the 2 years that we're there. We're very open to what God will lead us to, but we see this is what God has for us now, is to just go and learn the language and immerse ourselves into the people there. We will be working with the children's home some while we're over there, of course, for those 2 years. We're going to be back and forth, I'm sure, quite a bit up there. We're going to be working with people all over. I mean, there's... if you walk down into downtown Denver these days and the homeless people and everything else, there's endless amounts of work everywhere you'd walk. That is like living in Thailand as a whole. There's work everywhere we look. There's more than we could ever accomplish or hope to ever do there. There's so much to do. So the biggest thing that we've been told is that it's easier to burn yourself out doing so many things and trying to do so many things. There's more danger of just literally burning yourselves out from going 100 mile an hour doing things than it is to just actually sit back and allow God to lead us. And I think that's kind of where we're at, is as we go through this, we want to very prayerfully seek God with every decision of what we're making and what we're doing and where we're putting our efforts, that we're doing what God wants us to do and not what just may humanly look to be the right thing or what may feel the best for us, but what God is calling us to in each situation. We definitely feel that this is something that God is calling us to, and being sent from our church here, we want your prayers. We covet them. We want your input into our lives. I know there's a 14-hour time difference. There is literally a night and day difference, 'cause Henry got it. I'm at night, you're in the day. It's not easy necessarily, the communication and some of those things are not going to be easy. But we definitely want to be a part of our church here. It's not like we just leave and you guys forget about us and maybe you see us one Sunday a year or something. That's not our desire. Our plan is to come back for 1 month a year. Obviously, we're going to be traveling some through that 1 month to see different people, but my family does not live here, obviously, so we're going to be traveling to see them, but this is our home church. Our plan is to come back here and to be with you guys, to fellowship, to, yeah, build each other up in what God is doing there and in here with that. Any questions? I rattled on for a bit, so sorry about that. Oh, cop kun cop. Thank you.
Thank you. Say it again.
Cop kun cop. Okay, so the dates that we haven't bought our tickets yet, because they say the best time to buy them is about two and a half months in advance. So like 2 weeks ago, I almost panicked and paid astronomical amounts for the tickets because they seemed to have gone up so much. And then I was looking yesterday again, and they've gone back down. So right now, our dates are around the 17th of September is what our plan is to fly over. So we are actually moving out of our house towards the end of August, the last, 21st of August or something. And we're moving in with my good friend here. He needs a cook and a house cleaner, and so we're gonna try to fulfill all those things. No, we're so blessed because he's gonna let us kind of set up a closet, and, you know, different things in his basement, and we can keep some of the things. We don't need warm winter clothing over there, so we didn't really know what to do with some of this stuff that we have. When we come back, we might need winter clothing. We might need a jacket. Didn't want to buy one every time we come back. And so we weren't really sure what to do, but Papa offered us to set up down there in the basement. Oh, it was Mama. Okay. So you don't want this. You just want to fulfill what Mama wants for you. Okay. This was mom's plan, I guess. So, but yeah, we're going to kind of set up home there, I guess, a little bit in the basement, some of our stuff and things. So if we do come back, when we do come back to visit, we'll be there. So you want us to start a tourism guide company?
Just for us.
Yeah, I understand what you're asking, Angel. So yes, so this is something that has come up before, and this is kind of what we're hearing from what we're planning. We want to host people. We want to see people come and see what God is doing in Thailand. That is not something we're in any way pushing anybody off from. We do not want to do that because we want everybody to come. My desire would be that everybody in this room would come and visit us at some point. We are not going to run a tourist agency there. So I guess to answer that in short, our desire is that people come and we can point them into different directions of where to go see what God is doing. Yes, if we have a church or a congregation there or something or whatever church we are a part of, we would love people to come and experience that with us, to come see the children's home or, you know, whatever ministry we are a part of, absolutely. One of the things we've heard from other people that have lived there and done this before us and is that you can have a lot of people come over for a lot of the wrong reasons, if you will. Their desire is not to see necessarily what God is doing. Their desire is not to build the body of Christ, but they're on a tourist. They're coming as tourism. Not a bad thing. I'm not totally against tourism. In fact, I think it's a great excuse to come, if you will, and see what God is doing and let God work through that. But we definitely would love for people to come and visit. Are we going to host everybody in our home? Probably not. We'll probably send you to a nice Airbnb or a hostel or something like that, and we're going to point you in a lot of the right directions of where you could go see what God is doing and connect you with people there and let God, you know, do this work within you. We're going to be busy. We're going to be living life to a certain extent there. Like, we're going to be, especially while we're in school, we're going to be studying every day. It's going to pretty much consume our lives being in school. But we want people to come and visit us. If that's a short answer, that's the easiest way to say it. I want people to come. And we got a lot of people who are saying they're coming, and we're so excited about it. Like, we cannot wait to show people what God is doing in Thailand and why we love Thailand so much and the people there. Thanks for the question. Any others? Okay.
What is their religion?
Buddhist. Buddhist. Yeah. They're not. I mean, the Bible is there. We can have as many Bibles as we want. It's not like it's a limited book. It's not, you know, it's not illegal to have a Bible in Thailand at all. It's not illegal to preach the gospel in Thailand. I think the reason the gospel has been so slow in Thailand is it is very, very hard to break down the walls of the Buddhist culture that is so ingrained in everything. It is literally, Buddhism is so ingrained through every aspect of their culture. It is not like just their religion. It is literally a part of their culture. Say that again. I didn't. Yeah, it's every day. It's so a part of them.
I think it's good to do some research and look up. There's lots of countries, obviously, in the world where the gospel isn't prevalent. But, like, look up some about Thailand since we're going to be there, and it's like a part of your family is going to be there. And we love the thought of, like, joining the two, you know, like where you guys also get a passion and a heart for the people there in Thailand. But there's so many documentaries and a lot of things that you can look up. Just Google it online and learn so much about Thailand, about the cultures. There's hundreds of languages in Thailand. They don't all speak the same language, which is unfortunate or hard because, that we could easily be learning another language before too long. But each language, the heart, the goal is to have each language have a Bible in their language, in their heart language. It's pretty much like what they grew up speaking. And the goal is, all over the world, is for each one of those to have a Bible in their language. So there's a Thai Bible, kind of like German, a German Bible, but then for you to really understand it, for us to really understand German, we have to know German, you know, and it was hard for you and your little boy, Dad, to read the German Bible. Same with Thai. And so there's a lot of work, effort going on there of people translating the Bible into all these different dialects and languages. And so much, there's so much need there, so much work that can be done, but they just need people. God's looking for people. And so, I mean, if we can be just a tiny little part of his work, I'm just so excited to one day, like, be in the presence of God and every nation, every tribe, every tongue to be praising him. And I feel like that fuels the flames in my heart a lot. It's just, I look so forward to that day. But they also need to have a chance. Like, they should have a chance also to hear the gospel in their language. And please pray for us. As big as the work feels, the smaller we feel. And if it wasn't for his grace in our life and his strength, we would already give up. But in 3 months, in 6 months, we are going to need his grace. We're going to, like, when we're actually studying the language every single day, it's going to be grueling. It's going to be hard. And we're going to need your prayers so much. So please do keep in touch. And we want to hear what God's doing here, too.
Buy all our stuff. It's gone. That thing sold in 3 hours. I know this sounds kind of whatever, cliche or whatever, but really what we need the most is just prayer, that God just works in us. I don't know. I mean, we're so spoiled. We're Americans. I mean, we have got everything. Like, we have been so crazy blessed. I mean, as a family, we're so blessed. We have everything. In fact, we have too much stuff. That's why I said what I said, like, take all our stuff, because that's the problem we have, is getting rid of it all right now and trying to move on from that, knowing what to get rid of. But I think, like, some of the focus right now, like, what are we facing right now with going, is getting all the pieces in the right place. From my part of it, getting the right people in the right places within my business so that it will run while I'm there. And that is something you can pray for. If you want to pray for that, I need prayer in that. And I believe God has done that. One of the answers is sitting here to my prayers, is sitting here. Mervin. If for you, those that don't know that he works for me, he does. And what an answer to prayer it's been. I mean, 6 months ago, I was very, very worried about that aspect of my business and not knowing what to do with it. And God answered that prayer very well. Thank you, Mervin, for being an answer to prayer. And I have other aspects within my business of just understanding exactly what God wants me to do with that yet. So for on the just the logistical side of getting things going, I mean, it's hard to know what to sell right now in our house, like what all to start emptying the walls and the bedrooms and the things. My house has gotten more open. My bedroom is more open as things are being sold out of it. There's not as many things to trip over anymore. It is the little daily things of our life. Like, how do we take everything in our house and put it into 12 suitcases is what we're allowed to take. So it's a little harder than it sounds. It sounds really cool to just move across the world. It's not as easy as what I think I thought in my little mind it was going to be. We really just need your prayers. That is something. We don't need you to really come over and pack our suitcases. That would probably be problematic. I don't know. Like, on a practical basis, that's really what we need. Just that God would just fill us, overcome every doubt, every trial that is coming our way right now, and that we would just be filled with Him. And I know it sounds simple, but that's really as simple as it needs. That's really what we need. If that answers your question, Henry. And we will come buy everything at the yard sale when we put that up. Go ahead, Catherine. I think towards the end, then we're going to be, yeah, that'll be something more like what's going to happen towards the end of August. We're going to have a yard sale over here. We're, like we said, we're moving in with Papa, and we plan to bring a bunch of stuff over and have a yard sale. So that might be some things where we're going to need a little more help, is when we actually got to get everything out of the house literally and do some of that stuff. So I hate moving. I hate helping people move, and I'm so sorry I have to say that. But I'd rather have people come and I'd rather hire people to come and help. But anyway, so go beyond that. Anything else?
Thank you. I felt like this was important for Carrie and Soretta to have this time to share with us, because this will probably be their last ministry team meeting that they're a part of with us, unless we still get the one in September, depending when they leave. So thank you for your time, church family. And I also want to just encourage you, as we grow in this ministry together and have these ministry team meetings, if you want to stay anonymous or you just have questions and you even want to put your name on it as you go throughout the year, you can drop that, your question, into the tithe offering box back here in the wall. And as Dave gathers that, we'll get it and we'll try to engage you in those questions and answer those for you, whoever they apply to, whether it's Jemiah as the secretary or in the youth ministry, or Eli and I more in our pastoral questions, or the deacons, Dad and Dave, as they administrate here. So I just wanted to, again, remind you, feel free to do that. Some of you are already. Even if you just have a doctrinal question or a practical question, whatever it may be, feel free to drop that in if that's easier for you than doing it publicly like this. Let's pray, and then we'll dismiss. And as Dave announced, today we won't be having our usual lunch here served as a fellowship meal. Every fifth Sunday, we just take a break, and that way you can invite people to your homes or whatever you have planned. You have more freedom to do that together. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the honor, the joy it is to be a part of your body, not only local here in this little church here, but globally, to be a part of your worldwide family, and how it enriches and encourages our personal faith and strengthens us as we fellowship together with other believers in your work, and in your word. Would you bless Eli and Christy now as they leave, Father? I pray that you would just, your presence would go with them and keep them healthy. Would you do that, Father? I pray that you would bless them with the children as they travel, that you would just, your presence would be there and give them opportunity, many opportunities to be a witness for Jesus Christ as they travel. And we do pray that you would give Carrie and Saretta and their family much grace in the next couple few months as they continue day by day to prepare to go. We also pray, Lord, you would keep their souls in the love of God. As you tell us in John, keep yourselves in the love of God. I pray that for each one of us, Father, as we go through this day and into the coming days that you have for us here on the earth and into eternity, that your own Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. And Father, we thank you. You are the good shepherd of your sheep. We can trust in you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.
John wanted to share something real quick.
I'll be quick. The Lord has blessed us greatly, and we have really enjoyed being a part of Redeemed. And here in about a couple weeks, we're moving across the country. So we're closing on our house in Missouri in 2 weeks. They just accepted our offer, and they asked if we could do a 2 or 3 week closing. So that's what we're doing. And the Lord has provided greatly. I've always dreamed of having my own shop and working on heavy equipment and stuff, and I've been doing that. But pretty much got my own shop there and whatnot, and the Lord has just greatly opened the doors for us. There's a really nice Christian homeschool group in town and whatnot. So yeah, by the end of August, we will be moved completely, but we're going to start that here in a couple weeks. So I just wanted to say to everybody, thanks for everything, and we loved coming here and being a part of this church. So thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness to us. Lord, I just want to lift up John and Maggie to you, Lord. I just pray you go before them, direct their path, Lord, and be with the children as well. Lord, I just pray that you give them wisdom and discernment. Lord, I just pray that your angels be over them, Father. Lord, I just thank you for the blessing they've been to our fellowship. And Lord, I just thank you for their input and their blessing as they were here. Lord, just go before them again, Father, and just keep your angels over them. We ask this.